We will discuss the results of yesterday's primary elections in Wisconsin for several congressional and state legislative races that were on the ballot statewide. And we will look ahead to November. And we will also ask you in today's big question, did you vote yesterday? Why or why not? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, August 10th. The State Elections Commission predicted there would be a 16 statewide voter turnout yesterday. Why so low? Did you turn out? Did you think it was worthwhile or not? I suspect if you are a public radio listener, you knew that there was a primary going on. So let us know if you voted or not, why or why not, or any questions you might have about the election results. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Very happy to have with us Maurice Shepherd, a political science instructor at Madison College. He joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. You've joined us by telephone several times, but it's nice to meet you in person. Thanks for coming in. So what did you take away from yesterday's primary election? What sticks out the most to you?
Pretty much how typical it was. There really weren't any surprises. I think there was some concern here in Wisconsin with voter ID, but quite frankly, I think voters and poll workers have gotten very good at adapting and changing and actually learning these rules as they change. And then for the fall, they'll change again. But I think that was so. The big surprise was that there was no surprise.
Yeah, and that's true that there was no big backups or confusion, at least when I went to the polls. But there's also like two people there. I mean, nobody was there to vote.
Yeah. Well, and I think many more people are making use of sort of early voting. I did in terms of it's much more convenient to do, gives me time to actually sit and sort of think about that. So I think many more people are making use of that. And also, I think what's under sort of reported in the United States is that we really do have a lot of elections. We had earlier the presidential primary, then we have local elections, then there are other state and other federal elections. So we can be sort of, you know, we have lots of elections, lots of voting to go on. So even for a primary, sort of in the middle of the summer, where it's very warm and it's very hot, it may not be the thing at the top of most voters' priority list.
So you're not wringing your hands and thinking, oh my goodness, democracy's going down the tubes because we didn't have 50%+ to turn out in our August primary?
No, and actually this is actually one of the things that, going back to the founding fathers of the United States, that they actually thought about. Thomas Jefferson was one that talked about this, that if you want to vote, if you want to participate, then you will. And that if the people feel that the issues or the situations are so dire, that turnout will increase. But otherwise, if they're happy, if they're satisfied, maybe not so much.
And Wisconsin does have a much higher voter turnout when it comes to especially presidential year elections. If I'm not mistaken, second highest in the country for the big ones. But yesterday, 16% was the prediction. I'm not sure if that was that actually happened or not.
Yeah, I haven't checked the final numbers yet, but I'll check those later.
Yeah. Well, you know, in fact, let's go to Kyle in East Troy is with us right now. You did vote, Kyle?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and why did you decide it was important to vote in the primary?
Well, I am a veteran, and I've spent time not in this country, and I can tell you there are people who wish so much that they had this privilege that we have in our country. And so yeah, I voted, and it's important to me, and I hope that other people will, you know, see that. Yeah, not that I voted, but that they should vote too.
Right. Well, I mean, why do you suppose, besides that it's in the middle of a hot, fun summer, Maurice Shepherd, that we had less than 20% turnout, presumably, in that primary?
Well, I think Kyle brings up sort of a good point. He mentioned in terms of his military service, he has and he's had an active connection to the public sector, to the public good. And for those that have served in the military or have worked in, once again, the public sector, you have that natural attachment. But for many people, maybe they just, you know, they spend their lives in their own, once again, in the private sphere. And there's nothing wrong with that. But one of the dangers in the literature that's discussed is there can be this growing chasm between sort of the individual becoming less of a citizen and not participating as much in the democratic process as one would hope. Again, I think Wisconsin is on the positive end of that, where we usually have fairly, once again, during elections and that sort, pretty good voter turnout and pretty good participation. But I think part of one reason, one way to explain sort of the lower turnout might be, again, what connection do people have in their everyday lives to, once again, the public sector, the public good, and participation, voting, and that sort of thing would play a role in it.
Yeah. Thank you, Kyle, for your call, for your service, for voting. I guess I'm maybe also because of the business I'm in, I kind of look at voting as a civic duty to some extent and vote in every election, even if it's for treasurer of the city or something like
right.
that, you know, and the local ones as well.
Yeah, well, and the elephant in the room right now is this is a presidential election year, and that really is taking up a lot of the oxygen. So I think for many people, and even the students that I work with at Madison College, you know, I talk to many of them, they're engaged in that sort, but, you know, everyone is so focused on the presidential election that these sort of, as they call them, sort of down ballot elections, and also the primaries, they aren't really sort of at the, you know, once again, at the top of their list in terms of things to pay attention to.
Well, let's talk about what we did vote for yesterday, the race that was being watched across the country. In fact, it was the lead story in NPR News, was the Republican primary in the 1st Congressional District. House Speaker Paul Ryan easily defeated a Republican challenger, businessman Paul Nealon. What message do you think voters in that district sent yesterday?
Well, I think that in terms of Paul Ryan in this primary season, he spent a great deal of time focused on his district. Just a little background here. A few years ago, the previous Republican Speaker of the House, Eric Cantor from Virginia, he did not spend a lot of time focused on his primary challenger, and he was beat. So now, in the political jargon, they talk about avoiding being cantered or primaried. So I think for Paul Ryan, he took that to heart. He put out strong ads. He paid attention. He went, once again, campaigned locally. I saw a report where some of the national reporters were complaining because he would not take their questions. He wanted to talk to local news outlets, local news media, local people first before he talked or engaged with, once again, sort of the national media and that sort of thing.
So would you say Ryan is sitting pretty well for hanging on to his seat in November?
Ryan is sitting pretty well, and I think in addition, in terms of Paul Ryan, I think one, Wisconsin is crucial going into the fall elections, congressional, in terms of congressional races and also the national race. But I think in particular for Paul Ryan, I think he has a special position. He is seen as sort of the stabilizer in the Republican Party right now. The Republican Party is undergoing a number of let's say some disruption right now. Paul Ryan seems to be the one person that everyone can sort of hang their hat on, that they can hang together as long as he can hang in there. So I think beyond just sort of, once again, maintaining his and possibly, I think he'll probably be the odds-on favorite to win election in the Wisconsin 1st Congressional District this fall, but also in terms of for the Republican Party, nationally and also organizationally, they need him.
Well, I was going to say, we were just a minute before news break, but do you think it was Donald Trump's endorsement of Ryan that put him over the edge in the primary? Because you know, they were fighting back and forth over whether they're going to endorse each other. And on Friday, Trump finally did.
I'm sure Donald Trump believes that it was his endorsement that got him over there to get that final sort of 90% or whatever, once again, the final tally was in terms of winning. Yeah, I think Donald Trump may have helped, again, sort of turn out people for Ryan because there may be some backlash there.
Yeah. Well, we'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with our guest, Maurice Shepherd, a political science instructor at Madison College. We are going over the primary election results of statewide significance, and we will look at how this shapes the fall elections as well. And we welcome your questions, we welcome your views, and we welcome your answer to our big question. Did you vote yesterday in the primary, or did you early vote in the primary? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. In today's edition of The Big Question, we are looking at yesterday's primary election results and looking ahead to the fall elections as well. And we are asking you if you voted or not, why or why not. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And, of course, we also welcome any questions you have about the election results or any reactions you have to the election results as well. We are talking with Maurice Shepherd, a political science instructor at Madison College. And let's take another call from Ron in Madison. Hi, Ron.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
I did vote. One thing I would note is that, due to the extreme gerrymandering, I think a lot of partisans really don't have a lot of things to vote for, people to vote for. The Republican ticket in my township in Dane County was there was one person with a name on it, and that was Ron Johnson.
So you're saying that there was not any challengers in a lot of the races.
There was nobody on the ballot,
yeah,
except for one name. So, and I'm sure that's true across the state, and I'm sure that contributes to low turnout. People don't feel like they have anybody to vote for, at least in the primaries.
Right, that's true. Sometimes the primary there is not a challenger, Maurice Shepherd.
Yeah, and I think you hit on a great point in terms of gerrymandering, the fact that. This is an issue in Wisconsin. Just some background here. In the United States, in terms of how congressional districts are drawn, and that's determined at the state level. Every 10 years, we have a census. The next census will be in 2020, and Wisconsin will go through this process again. But I think that's something that states like Wisconsin and other states have to think about in terms of, what mechanisms do we have in place to determine how congressional districts are drawn. In Wisconsin, it's a very partisan process. The Republicans won a number of seats. They won the majority in the legislature in 2010, and they had the ability to redraw districts in a way, quite frankly, that was beneficial to them. If the Democrats had won, they would have done the very same thing. I think one thing that Wisconsin voters have to think about is, do we want to continue with this partisan process of how we draw congressional districts, perhaps move to a model that other states have where there's a particular select panel or commission of retired judges and elected officials that will draw districts that are actually competitive so that you don't, in the literature they call in terms of gerrymandering or gerrymandering, that you can pack districts or you can crack districts. I think in Wisconsin right now, if you look at the congressional maps and the district maps, there's a lot of sort of quote-unquote packing going on where maybe Democrats are squeezed into certain areas and that allows, again, maybe more districts for Republicans to win. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. That is just politics. As the saying goes, elections have consequences. So the consequence of the 2010 election cycle was Republicans were able to draw the map in their favor. Again, we get to do it all over again in 2010.
Now, someone also, right, and somebody could be a Republican or a Democrat for that matter and walk into the voting booth, and as long as you don't cross parties, you can vote in any party you want, right, in Wisconsin?
Correct.
Yeah. And he did not, but presumably he mentioned that the only Republican on the ballot, his ballot, was Ron Johnson. There's no challenger to Ron Johnson, but Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Russ Feingold did have a Democratic challenger in yesterday's primary. Russ Feingold defeated challenger Scott Harbaugh with 92% of the vote. So that was a big victory in the Democratic primary for Russ Feingold.
Yeah, and Russ Feingold is trying to get a do-over, if you were, in terms of against Ron Johnson. And that's going to actually be a very interesting. I think the polls right now have Russ Feingold ahead. But it's still interesting in terms of I wouldn't count Ron Johnson out in any way. These things, and this is a strange election cycle, a strange election season. And even though Russ Feingold has the lead right now, we don't know really what might transpire a little later on. I think for the Republican Party, it seems like they're shifting toward paying much more attention to, once again, the down ballot races, once again, state Senate races, and also races for the House of Representatives. Ron Johnson is seen as one of the vulnerable Republican senators in the Senate right now, and he's actually being targeted by the Democratic Party, once again, to take that seat back.
Yeah, a new Marquette University Law School poll is coming out this week. I believe it comes out on Wednesday. We'll be talking with the pollster Charles Franklin on Thursday during this hour. Those polls showed originally a much bigger lead for Russ Feingold, but in recent polls, it's tightened up between the two.
Yeah, and they'll usually sort of start to tighten up a little bit then. Once we get into September and October, the polls, I think, become much more reliable at that point.
Yeah. There was one race. Now, if you were in the 8th congressional district and wanted to vote in the Republican primary, there were three Republicans running in the 8th congressional district. This is the seat that is currently held by Reed Ribble, but Reed Ribble decided not to seek re-election, so it's the only open congressional seat in Wisconsin. Mike Gallagher came out the winner of that, and he will face Democratic Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson in November. It's also, not only is it the only open seat, but it's considered Wisconsin's only swing district, that it could possibly go either way. How significant is this race going to be, Maurice Shepherd?
I think it's going to be significant. I don't know all the details. I think in terms of Gallagher, I think that's the candidate that has a very strong background in terms of military experience.
He's a Marine Corps vet.
Yeah, exactly. So that could be a very strong selling point for him, again, to sort of leverage that experience in terms of, once again, running for Congress.
Yeah, and he did get the endorsement of the incumbent Congressman Reed Ribble, and helped him defeat the two other Republican challengers there. Tom Nelson, Outagamie County Executive, a former Democratic state representative, running as the Democratic challenger in that race.
Also, I believe in that race, Gallagher was able to raise a lot of money. He basically obliterated, once again, the competition in terms of fundraising. So money always helps in politics.
We are talking about yesterday's primary election results. We're welcoming any questions you have about the results or the race that matters most to you. We're also asking you if you voted in the primary, why or why not, and what do you think about the lower voter turnout that we have in primaries. Does that concern you or not? Do you think there's something we ought to do to increase voter turnout? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Gary on Facebook says, as expected, the two people I voted for lost. He did not say who he voted for. and I'm not even positive exactly what district he is in. He says, even with the odds against them, there is still a better chance of them winning if I voted than if I didn't. So he's got a point there, huh?
Oh, yeah, and particularly in terms of primary elections, again, we usually don't use this language in American politics, but in European politics, they talk about casting a sincere vote, sincere ballot, or an insincere ballot. Primary elections can be seen as a way for people to really, for Republican or on the Democratic side, to cast a sincere ballot for someone that they really, once again, sort of strongly support. Sometimes when you get to the general, then it may become an issue in terms of, once again, the, maybe a bit more sort of strategy as it comes into play. But primaries really are seen as the place for the diehard, once again, campaign and election citizen, someone who's really involved in this to, once again, participate.
Jeff in Hub City is with us. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning. My wife and I both went up to vote yesterday, but this notion of having a primary at this time of year, I mean, the state fair is going on. There's all kinds of, I own a company that does a lot of work in property services. There's all kinds of apartments churning over right now. Normally this time of year, I'm working 16 to 18 hour days. I had to cut that short so I could get back and be able to vote yesterday. That's what this was designed for. There's voter suppression going on. I'm not a member of either party, and the last party I was a member of was Libertarians. I will disagree on the issue of, this is the only sport, if you will, that lets the players make up their own rules as it's going, and it's pretty disgraceful. And I think the citizens need to reform our state government, tell these politicians what the rules are going to be and how it's going to be played by, and don't let these guys call their own fouls because they are morally incapable of doing that.
A reaction to that, Maurice Shepherd?
I'm not going to get into the conspiracy aspect of this, but he's absolutely right in terms of if you are able, this is something that I work with my students on when we talk about politics, and it's very helpful to them in terms of understanding politics, is that if you can write the rules of the game, you can write them in a way that they will benefit you. So, there may be administrative reasons for having primaries, once again, sort of in the middle of the summer. But also, as the caller identifies, it will naturally reduce the number of people that will turn out to vote. It's warm. People are working. They're doing lots of other things at that time. And also on a Tuesday, if the citizens of Wisconsin or of any state, if they're unhappy with that, elect officials that will promise to, if they're elected, to change these rules or think about changing these rules, and election rules, voting rules, so that they can be more accommodating. I don't see why, again, we can have weekend voting or more online voting, those sorts of things. But the central point that the caller makes is a correct one, that if you can write the rules of the game, and it's only rational that you write the rules of the game in a way that will benefit you. There's nothing, I don't think, evil in terms of that. It is sort of human nature.
We have a number of Facebook comments. Mary on Facebook says she is pained by the way voting is run. She says, I should be able to vote for whom I want, not for a party. That's the primary system. It's party voters or voters select, narrow the field for a particular race.
The two dominant political parties in the United States have structured and basically organized how the primary system operates and functions and that sort of thing. And she's absolutely, I think she's mm-hmm. she's on the mark with that. And again, what's important here is to understand is that, you know, none of this, all of this can be changed. It's a matter of, once again, voters participating, electing individuals that will actually have the courage to change rules and that sort.
Yeah, let's talk about another race on the ballot yesterday, this time in the 3rd Congressional District in western Wisconsin. U.S. Representative, Democratic U.S. Representative Ron Kind essentially won another term in Congress. He fended off a challenge by Myron Buckholtz, who was a more progressive, more liberal. He was a big Bernie Sanders supporter, Myron Buckholtz was, and was challenging Ron Kind in the primary. No other candidate has filed to run in the 3rd Congressional District, so this one is settled.
Well, Ron Kind, he's interesting to me because he always seems to be, he has a very, elite pedigree. I think he studied economics at Oxford University and that sort of thing. And there's always sort of this, when you look at Ron Kind, sort of, is he going to take the next step, maybe run for governor or, once again, run for the Senate and that sort. So it's not surprising that he won the primary. I just find Ron Kind sort of interesting. He just seems to be that one person who has the stuff to maybe take that next step to elevate to a higher office.
But some of the more progressive or more liberal to the left of him Democrats are a little bit upset with him over, for example, his support of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP, thinking that free trade agreement is going to be bad for labor and other things, and so he runs in as being more of a moderate Democrat. He runs into some opposition from his own party.
Yeah, and I think that's a signal for a larger. And my wife is tired of hearing me talk about this at home, but a larger shift, I think, in the electorate, that there's a generational shift. There are new voters that are coming on board. The voters are more urban in some cases. The voters have higher levels of education. There's a true demographic shift that is taking place in terms of voters in the United States at the local, state, and at the national level. And I think for many incumbents, they have to shift and adjust with the times, or again, they will find that they will be out of step with what voters want. I think we saw this in the presidential primaries, quite honestly, with Trump and with Bernie Sanders. A lot of their voters were looking at government through fresh eyes, and maybe sometimes the incumbents are not. They may be too stuck in their ways, this may be the case in terms of Ron Kind, that he's supporting a TPP, but his constituency is starting to look at things in a very different way.
Let's look at one of the hotly contested state legislative primaries. This one in Milwaukee, it was for state Senate between the incumbent Democratic Senator Lena Taylor and her colleague in the Assembly, State Representative Mandela Barnes. Mandela Barnes primaried Senator Taylor. That race was won by Senator Taylor. She is generally considered to be more moderate, while Barnes is seen as more progressive. So another one of those. What did you make of the results there?
Yeah, well, in terms of Barnes, and this is always a challenge, that if you have a more progressive position, you have to make sure, and I guess he did not have this yesterday, you have to make sure you have, once again, your supporters, your voters behind you, and that they will actually turn out and vote. Maybe, again, those progressive voters that he thought he had behind him, they didn't turn out for this primary, but those numbers may swell in the next few years, over the next few election cycles. So, I think it was risky anyway to sort of go into this. I think Taylor was going to win. She was the odds-on favorite to win. But I think Barnes, again, he took a shot, and that's what you have to do in politics, be a risk taker. But I think, again, he may be looking at the data and showing that those constituents are moving in a much more progressive path. So he may not be successful now, but again, in a few election cycles, those numbers will grow.
We are talking with Maurice Shepherd, a political science instructor at Madison College. He is breaking down with us and helping us understand how we voted, why we voted the way we voted yesterday in the primary elections. We're also looking forward to the matchups for the fall, and we're welcoming your input, your questions, your views at 1-800-642-1234. We'll check the news, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are continuing our discussion about yesterday's primary election results with Maurice Shepherd, who is a political science instructor at Madison College. And we are asking in our big question online, which you can find on WPR.org/joy, did you vote in the primary yesterday? Yes or no? Did you vote and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let's go to Marta in Milwaukee next. Hi, Marta. Is it Marta or Martha?
Marta.
Yes, go ahead, Marta. You're on the air.
I believe that Mandela Barnes will continue to grow in his support. He has the support of both the younger generation and also the older, more progressive generation. And I think that he will gain his support. And I look forward to that.
Thanks very much, Marta. I mean, in general, Maurice Shepherd, maybe... talk a little bit about how the younger generation, the millennials, might switch things up in the future.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, there's a demographic shift that's taking place in the United States in terms of education, again, sort of becoming more urban and that sort. And also, I think technology has played a large role in this also. The government, one of the hallmarks of a healthy democracy is that there's great transparency. Well, we have great transparency in the United States, but you bring that transparency, you match it with access to information in terms of, once again, the internet, on the cell phone, videos and everything else. You can get electronic documents and that sort. And we have, I think, a cohort of voters that's coming on board right now that, again, they look at politics in a very different way. And they will ask the question, why are we having primaries in the middle of summer on a Tuesday? You know, maybe that's a question that we've just sort of taken it for granted. It's sort of recently in the news, you know, someone finally asked the question, does dental floss really prevent, tooth decay? No one asked that simple question. It doesn't. Okay. You know, it doesn't mean you have to stop using dental floss. But I think it's the same thing in terms of voters, that there's a new generation that's coming on board, and they're aided by technology so that they have immediate access to their elected officials, immediate access to data, immediate access to information. And also they can see sort of how the process actually works, and they can ask those questions. Why do, you know, why are things structured and organized the way that they are? So I think there will be change.
And Marta might be right that the younger, more progressive millennials and even the older, more progressive voters in that Milwaukee district favored Barnes. But the vote breakdown, Senator Lena Taylor won with more than 60% of the vote, and the challenger, State Representative Mandela Barnes, got just under 40% or 39.4% of the vote. So,
well, and if I can just make the quick point also, in our two-party system, you know, never underestimate the ability of the two major parties to adjust. They do not want to give up their positions of power, quite frankly, in terms of being the two dominant parties. So they will adjust to this if they want to continue to exist, if they do not want to end up like the Whig Party. But they will adjust to, again, accommodate and change for, once again, the new voters that are coming on board.
But I also wanted to just touch on briefly, as we have many other callers, the power of incumbency. Does that play into this, too?
Yes. Well, it has. And I think this actually may be changing again. Incumbency has usually been seen as it's in the literature, it points out that voters usually do not want to be risk takers. They don't want to waste their vote. So the safest vote is to vote on the person that's already in office, unless, you know, that person has done something very egregious. But I think that may be changing also. I think, again, in the larger context of society, where everything is changing, people don't stay in the same job for 40, 50 years. They're changing, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 different times over their careers. I think that in terms of incumbency, it's still powerful right now. I think going into the future, though, it may be less so. Yeah.
Back to the phones. Lori in Hales Corners is with us, or Hales Corner. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Yes. I just wanted to let you know that I voted very early. You're allowed to vote 2 weeks ahead of, you know, of the voting. And I made a mistake because I went online to research. I had gotten a sample ballot, and I was looking at all the alternatives on the party that I was choosing. And guess what? I looked up one individual who was opposing the incumbent, and found out how impressive she had been in the education and her other credentials. But so I decided to vote for her. Well, then right after I did that, I found out that she had been supported by guess who? It doesn't matter. The point is, I made a mistake, and I felt really bad about it. And I think it's something that we should all be aware of, that this is still not a perfect system.
Yeah, so, but you're saying that you're sorry you voted early? You think you might not have made that mistake if you waited until Election Day?
I'm sorry I didn't have the additional information about this candidate. There was nothing else on that I could access that using her name online.
Well, I don't know. So maybe we don't have enough information on the candidates sometimes.
Yeah, well, and I think that's Lori brings up a good point, though, in terms of being an educated voter, that it actually takes work on the part of citizens of a voter to, again, sort of find that information about the candidates and that sort. I would just suggest maybe in many cases, maybe if you go to the League of Women Voters, their website, other organizations like that, they do a great job of aggregating that information and data. They won't have everything on every candidate, but that's usually a great place to start, the League of Women Voters.
Yeah, and I will put in a plug for WisconsinVote.org, which is the Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television site, where we have all of our news reports and interviews and other things there, but also just website information and other PolitiFact information and that sort of thing. So you can kind of your one-stop shop for voter information. Thanks, Lori. Sorry that you made a mistake. I mean, if you vote early and make a mistake, for that matter, if you vote at the polls and decide, oh, gee, I didn't mean to do that, there's not a whole lot you can do about that, is there, Maurice Shepard?
Well, if you're at the polls and you know that you've made a mistake, usually, in some cases, the machine will kick your ballot back, and then you can actually sort of correct it right there on the spot. Once the ballot is submitted, if you just change your mind, I don't think there's anything that really can be done about that. But if it's a mechanical failure at the voting place, that can be handled right on the spot.
Well, you know what? Here we are. This hour just flew by. We only have about 5 more minutes left. A quick reaction here. We have the incumbent Democratic State Senator Jennifer Schilling, who's, I believe, the minority leader for the Democrats in the Senate, and has a Republican challenger in Dan Kopenke, who she took that seat from a couple years ago or so. So they both survived their primaries, and so it's going to be a rematch: Jennifer Schilling versus Dan Kopenke. Any thoughts on that race?
I think the first race was fairly close, so I'll have to go back and check the numbers. But I think it will be a competitive race there. Again, this may be a case where sort of the incumbent versus the prior incumbent.
So we got a lot of rematches going on in Wisconsin. And we already talked about the U.S. Senate race, so let's talk a little bit about the presidential race. Donald Trump's running mate, Mike Pence, will be making his third visit to Wisconsin in in about the third time in 3 weeks he's been here. He's scheduled to hold a town hall at UW-La Crosse tomorrow afternoon. No Republican has won Wisconsin in a presidential race since 1984, but apparently the Trump campaign seems to think it has a shot. What do you think?
The Trump campaign, I think they've been mismanaged. They haven't really put a clear game plan out there in terms of a national strategy. And states that should have been safe for them, they're having to go in and work at now. For example, Georgia. There are other states that Wisconsin is, once again, sort of a battleground state, so they were going to be here anyway, sort of working hard. I think that the Trump campaign has failed to, again, put a solid strategy together, and instead of focusing on the battleground states and then trying to win additional states, what they're really trying to do, they're actually having to spend more time and money fighting in states that should be safe while also trying to, again, sort of get the battleground states like Wisconsin. So it's not unexpected that Mike Pence would be here. I don't know if Donald Trump himself would be here. Mike Pence probably has a much better, he'll get a much better reception, I think, in Wisconsin than maybe Donald Trump. But it signals that Wisconsin is important in terms of the November election for Trump.
We have just a minute to go. What are you going to be looking at between now and November? Is there, besides the U.S. presidential race or maybe the Senate race, is there any other race that you're going to be watching?
Actually, what I'm really interested in is the parties. The two dominant political parties, the Democratic Party, Republican Party. Again, I think we are in a, just like in our society and our economy, we're sort of at a point of change, and the two parties really have to shift to adjust to those. Bernie and I think Donald Trump signaled those changes that are coming.
Do you think our voter turnout in the 30 seconds we have in the November election is going to be a lot better than the primary?
I think it'll be vastly better, yes.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Maurice Shepherd, political science instructor at Madison College. Thanks to producers Bill Martins, Brianne Chasso, and Nyasia Ellison. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I also hope that you will participate in our online poll in today's big question. We're asking you, did you vote in the primary elections? So you can go to WPR.org/joy and vote in our online poll. Coming up next, we're going to talk about stem cell research and the ethics of it. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.